It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, Jake. So you and I kind of had some fun. If we were to add a 26th or 27th player to this list and make it the top 27 players, because that makes no sense. But it's our show and we can do whatever we want. Who would you have added?
Yeah, I was surprised that Amon Green was left off the list.
Okay. All right.
Second team all AP All-American in 97. He was second nationally in rushing yards that year. First team all Big 12 that year. First team all Big 8 in 1995. Third team all Big 12 in 96. So, I mean, all those accolades. I mean, freshman record for season rushing yards at Nebraska, 2-95. But the biggest thing, obviously, is helping lead Nebraska to two national titles. I think he's, I don't think he's not only should be on this list. I think he's in general, underappreciated. I really wonder what would happen if he would have came back in 98, but I don't know. I don't think they'd probably win that title in 97 without him.
It's crazy when you think about Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer and Green Bay Packers all time leading rusher in there too.
Yeah.
Love Amon. Got, that's why we said 27. So yours is Amon. Mine would be Prince. Mine would be Prince. Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, All-American, as a corner. Corners don't get recognized that much unless you're like freaking Dion or something. As a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, unanimous All-American, first-round draft pick, and this is in the NFL, but also a Super Bowl champion as well, just to throw that out there too. What I was getting at that you did not pick up is Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year. Come on, man.
Huh.
Somebody walking in those doors has those accolades. It's probably Bill Bush. That'd be my guess. Bill's probably asleep. He gets up early. Does he nap in the afternoon, you think?
I would nap if I had to get up. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. No, that's who I would say Prince. You'd say Amon. I mean, it's like pick from one great to another Husker great. All right. Now, somebody did mention Lawrence Phillips had a great career. Obviously, there's some other things that people are probably going to factor into that list as him being on that list or not being on that list as well. But that's another great player that you can discuss. All right. Hour two of the Adam Carriker Show. It's the noon hour, ladies and gentlemen. That means it is lunchtime. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show on the Ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, located at two locations. I said that poorly. Now with two locations, Mulberry Barbecue has. There we go. Speak like Yoda, kind of. At 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, and a full slab of ribs, a half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, incredible size. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue. Located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2, right by Lowe's. All right, anything else off the text line in general pertaining to anything before we move on going forward?
A couple names some other people threw out there. Nate Swift from 0778, Randy Gregory for 1508, and Thomas and Lincoln says, surprise, no Jay Foreman.
A lot of great players. Why didn't they just do a top 50? Because then you'd have to go to 75 and then you'd have to go to 100. All right. Yeah. A lot of great players. Should we chat a little bit of Houston Christian here? I know we've chatted about them, but just briefly actually kind of look at them specifically for about five, maybe 10 minutes. You can tell me no and I'll move on. It's up to you.
No, I'm interested.
Okay. So the first The first thing that's noted here, basically the worst player on Nebraska would be amongst the best on Houston Christian's roster. Somebody help me with these notes. Shout out to Andy Jurassic. That was his first line. All right. Now, Houston Christian is a member of the football championship ranks, FCS. Comes to Lincoln with a 1-1 record following a 20-10 loss to Eastern Kentucky on Saturday night. Despite the loss, the Huskies, limited Eastern Kentucky to 173 yards. So they play a little bit of defense. All right, and allowing just 139 yards per game. Did you know that? Does that kind of temper your expectations for our offense there?
Not necessarily.
He just chuckles and says no. All right, Houston Christian opened the season with a 69-0. Ooh, that's better than 68-0. I'm just saying. 69-0 victory over Arkansas Baptist on August 28th. This is the first all-time meeting between the Huskies and the Huskers. Nebraska is 15-0 all-time against FCS opponents, most recently defeating Northern Iowa last season 34-3. Their quarterback has passed Houston Christian's for 295 yards, 52.5% completion percentage, so he's not exactly blistering teams through the airways, 32 of 61, two touchdowns to one interception. So technically, he has the two touchdown to one INT ratio that you're looking for as a bare minimum to have a decent quarterback. Now, the best player is probably their starting running back. Zayshawn Edwards, who rushed for 200 yards, four touchdowns, and 7.4 yards per carry through two games. All right, Jake. Thoughts on any of that that we've learned so far in the past 2 minutes?
I mean, yeah, it's a nice breakdown. It's a good idea of somebody to kind of look out for, and we'll see. Like you said, it's an interesting breakdown, and to me, when I did kind of look at Houston Christian, it's just a tale of two games, too. I mean, they've kind of got Nebraska where they had a stat game that they could put up some massive stats. They had a close game where they did not put up massive stats.
Are you taking them for granted?
I am taking the win for granted.
As well we should. It's about what we need to do, which if you missed that, I discussed that about an hour ago at the top of the show. All right. Darrell Evans is another running back of theirs who has 128 yards, three touchdowns, and averaging 4 yards per carry. The team has rushed for 401 yards, averaging 7.2 yards per carry their first game, where they won 69-0. All right. He made a note here. It says in parentheses, frat bros still probably going crazy after the 69-0 victory. These notes are fun. Their top wide receiver only has 80 yards. And they're facing number two pass defense in the country in Nebraska statistically this weekend anyway. So I say we put 12 men in the box to load up and stop the run. What say you, Jake?
Yeah, that could be a strategy.
Is that could be a strategy? Is that mathing? Their defense has 3 interceptions, 2 sacks so far. The team is surprisingly decent sized throughout. They might also have the smallest player in the FCS at 5'5", 140 pounds. But he is a freshman. Houston Christian finished with a 5-7 record last year, just missed the FCS playoffs. The Huskies have never qualified for the postseason since moving to the FCS in 2014. Their wins came against Louisiana Christian, Indiana State, McNeese, Nichols, and Northwestern State. The Huskies had a top 50 offense in the FCS last season, averaging nearly 28 points per game. Their defense, however, struggled, allowing 35 points per game, which ranked 106th in the FCS division. 22 first downs via the run and 22 first downs via the pass so far this year. So their effectiveness through the air and their effectiveness through the ground is not balanced unless you look at the first downs they've gained. They love using the run game to set up the RPO. They are averaging 54 yards in penalties a game. They are not currently ranked in the FCS. Have made 1 out of 2 field goal attempts so far this year. Only one that was made was from 23 yards out. They are 10 of 10. On the bright side, as noted here in the notes, on extra points. Any notes? So that's something. I don't think he knew I was going to read this like this. Now he knows. In their second game, they only ran for 42 yards on 32 attempts, 1.3 yards per carry. They threw for 217 yards and were 22 of 45 passing, so under 50%. They had 5 fumbles and lost 4 of them. They're worse than Akron, but they run the ball a lot more. All right. I'm just going to read the rest of the notes. I still expect a blowout, but with all the runs, the clock will run, leaving less time for Nebraska to score. Andy Jurassic's prediction is 56-6. Oddly close to my 56-7, just saying. Now, the questions are, should we shut them out? Probably, but when was the last time Nebraska had 2 shutouts in a row? Besides, we got These are his notes. Besides, we are lucky Akron doinked their first field goal attempt. All right. Any other final thoughts on all of that there, Jake?
Not necessarily. It's a good preview for a butt kicking, I think. I mean, they're going to have a hard time mustering really much of anything, I expect.
So what's the minimum the score has to be in your mind for this game to be a success?
I think Nebraska, especially building off from last week, which is a big part of it. I think before last week's score, I would have told you something different. But, I mean, it would be – they've got to get into the – got to score at least more than 42, I would think. And then you don't want to give up more than 10 points to this team.
Fair. The minimum.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
For me, as I sit here and put a full 5 seconds worth of thought into this, is probably, I like the 50 number, but if we score 7 touchdowns, that's 49. So I could say 49, but man, we can't give up more than 8 points. Maybe they go for 2 and get it. I don't know. Maybe it's 49-0. They want to practice their 2-point conversions after their one lucky touchdown of the day. They go for 2, they get it. 49-8. That's like my bare minimum. I wonder what the fine folks out there have to say. What's your bare minimum score-wise? And we're looking for things beyond the score in this game, which we talked about again just to start off the show today. What's your bare minimum score-wise that you would find acceptable for this game and still say it was a success? We feel good about moving on to Michigan. Let us know. For the 1,000,000th time, what is that text number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Is there anything off the text line at the moment?
Not yet. Thomas Lincoln actually just chimed in 42-8.
Ooh, he went with my 8, but he went with 42. Lower expectations for the offense?
A little bit.
Would you be all right with 42? Your face said no.
I think that's about, again, the lowest. I mean, if they're scoring in the 30s, I think you're not all that happy with the performance. If they get to the 40s, I mean, depends on how it looks. I think that you would probably have a few possessions you're not the most happy with. So. I think it would be passable grade at 42, but I think that's about where you put the bottom of it.
You know, I'm going to go 50-8 because if we want to really feel like, yeah, we built on last week. Yes, we're probably not going to win 68-0. The game's going to go a little bit faster. We won't have as many possessions just because they're going to try to run the ball a lot more. I still think you got to get like that 5-0 number in there. Just got to get it in there. This team's never made the FCS playoffs.
Never had a winning record as a program.
So, watch. They're going to win like 49-8, and I'm going to sit here and debate over 1 point how much that matters. Or Matt Rhule's going to be up 48-8 and go for 2 to make me happy. Do you think he'd do that?
No way.
They got to practice their 2-point conversions.
That is what running up the score. That's running up the score.
Oh, that's a fair point. Maybe he does it the first possession.
Yeah, just to work on it.
Anticipatory, maybe. All right, let's look around the Big Ten a little bit. Or do you want to start predicting games? What do you want to do next? This has basically been your show today.
Well, it is. It is. Why always say that jokingly? It wouldn't be an awful idea in this game. If you're going to get a lot of 2-point conversion opportunities, you need to work on that short yardage near the goal line. That's been one of your problems. And I don't know if you want to expose it a little bit more. Those are tough play calls to have, but maybe worth a shot. Oregon used to do that. Go for 2 all the time.
Well, you remember, and they weren't the only ones. It was like Oregon was like Chip Kelly was the guy who started it. Then Boise started doing it. Scott Frost did it down at USCF, his first run. But like you have the center, you have the kicker and the holder, but all other 8 guys line up to the side and they're looking for some things in the defense. And if you don't line up properly, they're going to snap it and try to go for 2 with all the blockers on one side. And Oregon had an insane amount of success, a high success rate with it. And if they don't see what they're looking for, they line up to kick the extra point. So, all right. You didn't answer my question. What do you want to do next?
No, sorry. What are my options again?
We're just going to go around the league in the Big Ten.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. 9 of the Big Ten's 18 teams are mentioned in this week's AP poll and U.S. LBM coaches poll. How long has it been called the U.S. LBM? Why not just the coaches poll? Do we have to sponsor everything?
It used to be USA Today, right?
I guess it did. Do we have to sponsor everything?
Well, that's where the
is
money
this microphone is. Sponsored?
It is. Not yet, actually. That's a great idea. I'll write that down.
Brought to you by Bach and the Black Shirt here on the Adam Carriker Show. This microphone.
Yeah. Put a sticker on it.
All right. The AP poll includes Big Ten team-wise. Number 1, Ohio State. Number 2, Penn State. Number 4, Oregon. Number 9, Illinois. Do you really think Illinois is a top 10 team?
I think last week against Duke kind of showed you. I mean, again, it feels weird to say, but they were top 15 last year. And then that victory against Duke, that's a huge for them, I think, to kind of say, hey, we're here to stay. We're here to belong. We belong. So I think at this point, yeah, I would.
They have the most amount of returning starters of any team in the Big Ten with 18. To your point, a team that was top 15 last year. All right, number 22, Indiana. Indiana's not as good as they were last year. Do you think they'll finish ranked?
I think so.
I'm going to say no just because I don't want them to. Kurt Cignetti. All right, number 23, Michigan. That's an interesting team, man. It's an interesting team, whether they'll finish ranked or not. All right, with Nebraska and USC receiving votes as well, but just outside at number 1, Ohio State leads 9 Big Ten teams in the coaches poll. Again, if you didn't know, shout out to their sponsor. That's the USLBM, the alphabet poll, apparently. All right, Ohio State leads 9 Big Ten teams in the coaches poll. Number 2, Penn State. Number 5, Oregon. Number 9, Illinois. 19, Indiana. Number 22, Michigan. While Nebraska, USC, and Washington also received recognition. The Big Ten announced its Big Ten Football Players of the Week, presented by ifs.ai. On Monday, Michigan State's Aiden Childs and Washington's Jonah Coleman were co-offensive players of the week. Do you get concerned at all about his ability to run when we play Michigan State in about 3 weeks?
Absolutely, especially from that Cincinnati game. That could be an Achilles heel for Nebraska.
We ran a lot of man. You think we incorporate more zone when we face quarterbacks like him?
Because
we've
read
a lot
idea.
Of man so far.
Yeah.
All right. Childs recorded a career-high 4 touchdowns Saturday as the Spartans beat Boston College in double overtime, throwing the game-winning 2-point conversion pass to Omari Kelly on the last play of the game. All right. Michigan State's Jordan Hall captured Defensive Player of the Week honors after recording a career-high 15 tackles in the win over Boston College, with his 9 solo stops making a career best. Don't underestimate Michigan State, ladies and gentlemen. You and I were talking. Playing Michigan and Michigan State back-to-back is interesting. It's a unique challenge. There's a lot of people who think are doubtful we're going to win both those games. I did point out I feel better that there's a bye week in between, so we should be fresh. Like, we should be fresh for Michigan. Then we got a bye week. We should be fresh for Michigan State, and they're both at home. Yet, knowing all of that, how confident do you feel that we would beat both those teams, Jake? It's hard to say. We haven't even played Michigan yet, so.
Yeah. It's tough to say, but, that seems like, especially the mobile quarterback aspect makes me a little bit worried. Even, coming off a win against Michigan, too, remember that was kind of felt like Colorado was the Super Bowl, the game of the year, whatever, and then you come off that and you lose a couple weeks to Illinois. You know, it could be a similar feeling of you're on the top of the world if you beat Michigan.
I never liked that last year. Oh, we put too much into Colorado. If you can only get up for one game, maybe two a year, you're doing the wrong thing. Like, that drove me nuts. It didn't drive me nuts. I didn't like it last year. You have, like, especially in today's world, like, what if we were Florida and we basically played the Patriots, the Jets, the Steelers, and the Vikings 4 weeks in a row? Because that's what Florida's schedule looks like. What's their excuse? They got, like, Tennessee, Florida State, Miami. They just came off freaking USF, who's a top 15 team, that or 18th in the country for some reason. The only team who's beaten two ranked teams, but they can't break higher than 18th in the country. Logo. All right. We got the bye week in between. They're both at home. I think that helps. Michigan, Michigan State. Four Big Ten teams posted shutouts on Saturday, with Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Penn State winning by a combined 238-0. All right, Iowa's Kirk Ferentz won his 205th game as the Hawkeyes defeated Albany, the mighty Albany, 34-7 on August 30th, last Saturday, tying Woody Hayes for the most wins by a Big Ten head coach. He's now tied for the winningest head coach of Big Ten conference history as Kirk Ferentz. Last season, he joined the former Buckeye legend as the only Big Ten coaches to win 200 games. Ferentz and the Hawkeyes look to make Big Ten history with a win this weekend against the mighty UMass. I don't know why I'm saying that. We're playing Houston Christian. He could become the winningest head coach in Big Ten history. And I just saw multiple lists where coaches on the hot seat, he was 15th on both those lists. Billy Napier is far and away number one, the Florida head coach, after losing to USF. He could be the winningest coach in the history of the Big Ten, and he could be on the hot seat the same season.
And it's weird, too, because it's just all about the offense. Tim Lester is not seeming to help that offense. Remember, they fired Brian Ferentz a few years ago. And the offense isn't picking up. The quarterback problem is still in Iowa City. So, I mean, it's not even about wins and losses. It's just like, can you eventually get this side of the ball rolling?
Like, how many national championships would they have won if they could just have an average offense? The answer is zero. But, like, how much better could they have been if they just had, like, an average offense over these years? They're insanely well-coached in every other part and facet of the game. How are they so bad on offense?
Do you appreciate Ricky Stanzi a little bit more? You know, the few guys that were able to do it under Ferentz? Brad Banks, obviously.
Ooh, yeah. They had that great year. What was that, 04? 03? Yeah, 03, I think it was 03. No, that was 02, because them and Ohio State were tied atop the Big Ten. And Ohio State beat Miami in the Fiesta Bowl to win the national title. And Iowa went to the Orange Bowl, got blown out by Troy Polamalu, Carson Palmer, and USC. All right. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We have got major college football games coming up this weekend. There's like 10 of them that stand out. We're going to do our picks. We have some volleyball updates. And Nebraska soccer had one heck of a comeback last night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.